Today is the second Sunday after Trinity Sunday, and the gospel appointed for this day is taken from the 14th chapter of St. Luke's gospel, beginning with the 16th verse. Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ his Son, our Savior. Amen. Considering the words of our Lord in the appointed gospel, the faithful Christian is struck by 2 points concerning the invitation to the Great Supper. First, we must remember the Lord's judgment concerning those who do not heed his invitation. Those who spurn the invitation do not partake of the benefits of the supper. Second, the Lord is rich in mercy to all those who heed the call, who partake of the supper not because of any worthiness in themselves, but because of the gracious invitation of the Master. The Lord invites us, through his word, to partake of salvation in Christ Jesus. The words of warning and of promise contained in this gospel were first spoken in the house of one of the Pharisees, when Jesus, together with the lawyers and Pharisees, ate bread on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the Pharisee who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back, and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Of course, human nature has not changed. We like to invite those who would invite us. We like to do for our family and our friends. And we do so, at least in part, because of what they have done for us or will do for us. I remember many examples of such invitations from my years studying and working in Washington, D.C. Receptions, parties, and dinners were a regular part of the networking and currying favor. Alliances were strengthened and new friends made or influenced through such gatherings. One went to see who was there and to be seen. The measure of where a person stood in political society could be seen by who they invited and who accepted their invitation. Invitations to high-profile gatherings were much sought after because they provided access to people with power. The Pharisees understood this game 2,000 years ago. Families and religious alliances were made and strengthened through such ties. But our Lord set before them a different set of priorities. For he said, "But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Or as we hear in the words of the epistle lection for today, "But whoever has this world's goods, and sees his brother in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." This is an important lesson for us. How can we shut up our hearts from another person who is in need, especially one who is of the household of faith? St. James wrote in his epistle, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" St. James and St. John draw our attention first to those who are of the faith, for St. John refers to a brother, and St. James to a brother or sister. The question thus is, if those who are of one body with us in Christ's church suffer want, How can we claim to love the one who is the head of the body if we do not love the members of that same body? As God's word says, how does the love of God abide in him? Our Lord directed the Pharisees to give precisely to those who could not repay. And St. John writes that we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Our Lord told the Pharisees that those who showed such generosity would be repaid by the Lord, saying, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Then one of those at the table said to Jesus, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. It was in response to those words that our Lord spoke that which is contained in the gospel lection. If the one who is blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God, then who is the one who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God? The one who heeds the invitation. Such an invitation was refused by those who were fixated on worldly wealth and all its trappings. The ones who refused the invitation were those who were more concerned for their land, or their oxen, or their spouse. Although all such things are a blessing from the Lord, they must yield priority to the invitation to the feast. But once again we see that the temptations of fallen man have not changed. Men are tempted to do good to those who can pay them back. Men are also tempted to pay more attention to the fleeting, perishing things of this world, land, animals, family, than to heed the invitation to the Great Supper. Sadly, we see such neglect of the invitation all the time. Men imagine themselves too busy for the Great Supper, and they begin to make excuses. Oh, they've got too much work that needs to be done. Or Sunday is the only time they have for their families. Or the church, they say, is full of hypocrites. Or they don't like the pastor. Or it's raining, and the roads will be bad. Or it's sunny, and they've got things to do that just can't wait. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the master spoke a word of judgment. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. As our Lord spoke these words, first in the presence of the Pharisees, certainly we see their immediate fulfillment among those Jews who rejected the Messiah. The Savior had come to them in the flesh, and they did not heed the gracious invitation to believe in him. By the mercy of the Triune God, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed to we who were born Gentiles according to the flesh, so that we might believe and receive the gift of salvation in Christ. St. Paul likens the situation within the church to being like a tree, and he writes as follows, and if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise you also will be cut off. Thus we see that the point is that if the natural branches, that is, those who were born physical descendants of Abraham, were broken off from Christ on account of their unbelief, we who were born Gentiles, and grafted into Christ through holy baptism, are admonished, do not be haughty, but fear. Those of the Old Testament covenant of circumcision, until the time of the coming of the Christ, were made partakers of the promise through that sacrament of the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament we are given holy baptism, that all who are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost are made part of the body of Christ. Do not be haughty, but fear. Fear with a holy fear against taking the grace of God for granted. Fear showing contempt for the body of Christ by neglecting a brother or sister in need. Fear disregarding the gracious invitation to the Great Supper because you are more concerned about the things of this world. As St. Paul wrote to the saints in Christ in Philippi, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." The hardened sinner knows no such godly fear. He may be angered by the words of God, but he does not repent and heed that word. However, the repentant sinner hears the admonition and asks, "Is it I, Lord?" fearing lest he would cast away his salvation for the fleeting things of this world. Such a saint needs the comfort of the Lord's word. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." If we are to will or to do, it can only be because of the work of God. It is the Lord who has prepared the feast, and it is the Lord who sends the word of invitation. We hear in the words of the Old Testament lection from Isaiah 25, "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." The Lord invites us, through his word, to partake of salvation in Christ Jesus. There is a gracious invitation because of the work of Jesus Christ, bearing in his own body the punishment which we deserved on account of our sins. Who are those who come to the feast? They are the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. They come not because of any worthiness in themselves, but because of the gracious invitation of the Master. They are not worthy, but the Master is gracious. Those who consider themselves so important refuse to partake of God's forgiveness as it comes to us through God's Word and Sacrament, the means which the Holy Trinity has provided to create and sustain faith in those who hear the Gospel. Those who refuse his feast, who cling in impenitence to their sin, and refuse to heed his word, are the ones so fearfully warned in the words of today's gospel. But for those who fear on account of their sin, and who desire God's grace, God's word assures us that the feast was made for all people. There is sufficient grace for all who believe in Christ Jesus as their Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are made a full partaker of that salvation which he has accomplished. We take comfort in the earnest desire that all would be saved, for he sends out his servants with the words, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." This is the measure of God's grace toward us in Christ, that the Lord desires that all would believe in Christ, and believing in him, be made partakers of his resurrection from the dead. The one who died to pay for our sins now lives and reigns at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, and he will come again in glory. All who heed the invitation, partaking in faith of his holy body and blood in the Lord's Supper in this life, wait in anticipation of the feast to come. That hope will not disappoint. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, who never fails to help and govern those whom thou dost bring up in thy steadfast fear and love, make us to have a perpetual fear and love of thy holy name. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The people of Salem Lutheran Church invite you to visit them today for the 10:30 a.m. worship service. Sunday school is available each week at 9:30 a.m. Salem is located approximately 3 miles north of Malone, off of FM 308. For more information about this broadcast or about Salem Lutheran Church, you may call the congregation at 533-2330 or visit us on the internet at www.salemlutheranchurch.net. This broadcast is made possible through the generous support of the Salem Lutheran Men's Fellowship and the Salem Lutheran Women's Guild.